These texts we have today, the first one mostly about idolatry, and the second about people's need for truth, for the word of the Lord. This text is from Hosea, the first text, and you know about Hosea, I guess. His prophetic call was a ruined marriage that he put back together by the power of God. Every prophet tells us his call. Jeremiah, Isaiah, just read the early part of their book. Amos, you have to read in chapter 7. And that call stamps them. And their prophetic message is always refracted through that experience of God. Isaiah, the majesty and glory of God. Jeremiah, God's pain over the infidelity of his people. Hosea was married to a woman who left him. Hard to know what happened, but she went somewhere. And was very unfaithful to him. Well, in that culture, you just let her go, get another wife. I mean, it's in those days. But his love for her was so great, he couldn't do that. I think I've told you this story before. In the monastery, a man called up. Father Anthony took the phone. He said, I'm on my way. My wife has left me. And I'm on my way over there to kill her and to kill myself. So Anthony said, "What? Would you like to stop by here, you know?" And he said, yes, the man was desperate. Why would you call to tell a monk you're going to go kill your wife? I mean, you could tell. So he came, and his wife had left him. She was a nice girl, kind of dumb. But this man had such a love for that woman that every fiber of his being was in pain. I met him. It was a love, and of course, I looked at him and I looked at her when we kind of got them together. And I said, that's God and that's us. Here's Jesus, burning with love in every fiber of his being for us. And here we are, so stupid we don't get it. And I guess she never got it. They got their marriage back together and so forth. But well, it so happened at that very moment, I think I've told you this before. I was teaching Hosea in the monastery. And there's theories, well, this is a parable, this never really happened, you know. And I'm thinking, and just at that time, this fellow shows up. And I said, oh, this happened. You know, this is what happened to Hosea, is what happened to this man. And from that came his experience of the way God loves us. And that's why he's so tough. You see, the whole Bible has as a principle that idolatry leads to sexual excess, confusion, and so forth. If you read chapters 13 and 14 of the Book of Wisdom, it's clearly mapped out. And that's what Paul is founding his teaching on in the letter to the Romans. Start in chapter 1, verse 18, where, you know, they suppressed the truth. And so what happened? The men turned to men and the women turned to women because the truth was suppressed, the truth of God. So idolatry leads to total sexual confusion. So what's wrong with our culture? Idolatry. No recognition of God, no love of God, no desire to obey God, no even... And this poor man, I forgot his name now, one of the popularizers, not a very bright guy, but an eloquent fellow, the atheist. His popular, very popular books, I forgot his name. Yeah, the fellow's got cancer of the esophagus right now. Who's that? Yeah, that's right. So pray for this fellow. What a mercy of God, not to just let him drop dead of a heart attack, but give him some time and some pain to think about the lives he's destroyed. and the power of forgiveness. Huh? God. And in this text we have today, we have this same notion, you see. He went around curing every disease and illness. The incident that we reflect on, and that's holiness of life of this young girl, see, is tied up with this world of idolatry, sensuality, infidelity. And she shines like a light. The Holy Spirit started to work on her at a very early age. You can well imagine when they were assessing her to canonize her. She was just a scared Italian girl. She was, no. This was a woman of prayer. You just heard it, right? No. This was a woman who knew what she was doing when she gave her life to protect her chastity. She knew just what she was doing. But the wonder of the church is what? She comes down in a vision. This guy is so hardened, he's in jail, not even sorry. And she comes down, it must have been what you read, wasn't it? I hope.
Yes.
Anyway, she comes down in a vision and to convert him. You see the kingdom of love? It doesn't come down to scare him. It comes down to win him over. And he was won over, and he died, as you probably heard, he died a lay brother in an order. You see the power of love and the difference in this world and in the regular old-fashioned world, you know. There, love is so powerful that the woman whom he killed comes back to him, sent by God, and she must have prayed, let me go back. Let me tell this poor guy. He could go to hell. He's not even repentant yet. And so she comes down. You see the love? You see the difference what the kingdom of God is all about? Now they stand next to one another praising God forever. So we see in these texts, you see, why Jesus comes and he looks at us and he says, they're like sheep without a shepherd. They don't know where they're going. They're angry. They're scared. They're out of order. They're doing dope. They're sexually totally mixed up. And he comes, you see, and he comes in the church, which is the physical presence of Christ. But he'll only be able to really come if we yield to him. Let him take over our lives. One of the things we haven't talked a lot about recently, I don't know why I thought of this the other day, is holiness. Not just piety, holiness. We're called to be saints. Let the Lord take over our whole being. I probably went over time. No, I didn't this week. But you see, we're not just called to be pious or law-abiding. We're called to be saints. Well, that's awfully tough. Yeah. What is it? Want to make a couple of $1 million? You're going to have to do a lot of work, you know. But the funny thing is, you read the lives of the saints, and you say, I think I'll just be a Sunday Catholic and put my money in the collection and hope for the best, you know. But you read the lives of the works of the saints themselves, and they're just full of joy. So who do you believe? The biographers who are standing at a distance and admiring this person, or the saint who's in the middle of it rejoicing? I'm trying to believe these saints, you know. Some days it's easier than others, but because they know what they're talking about. Go ask Maria Goretti today. What's it like? Are you glad you did what you did? Oh, boy, yeah. Not only am I, but I won the fellow over anyway. Anyway, it's holiness. I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. That means moving an enormous ego out of the way, a self-centered sensuality out of the way, so that Jesus Christ can reign in us.